Want to be a part of the conversation? Then let us know on the TNT Radio Interactive Live chat room at tntradio.live. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's news talk, TNT Radio. In 1620, the Pilgrim Fathers and the Mayflower set sail from Plymouth to explore the New World. More than 400 years later, Darren from Plymouth explores today's New World. Darren from Plymouth is D.D. Denslow, and he's digging deeper on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to TNT Radio. This is me, D.D. Denslow. We are on Digging Deeper, and I've got an interesting show for you lined up over the next 2 hours as we lead in to the 3 o'clock spot where George takes over. First up, I've got Nick Ashcroft. He's been a regular guest over the last 4 weeks, probably because they've invited me up to his event with Rick, and we're going to be on the stage up there. So I thought it was best to get him on. But Nick's actually a protest organizer, an event organizer, very awake, a part of the freedom movement. So I'm looking forward to speaking to him, and no doubt vaccines, vaccine protests, vaccine injuries, but it's the biggest story in the UK at the moment. We'll get a mention, as well as things like, you know, the cost of living and prepayment meters, and that they're going to give you some money back if you turn your electricity off for an hour or two every day. You go sit in the dark and they'll give you a couple of quid. Sounds like an absolute bargain. So we're going to be talking about that. And then at 2 o'clock, I've got a new guest to TNT, podcaster. He lives in Portugal at the moment. He's sunning it up. He's trying to escape the craziness of the rest of the world and found a little spot in the middle of nowhere in Portugal. So we've got Lawrence Eastman, and we're going to be talking about what's going on in Portugal. He's got a story about his experience of the British, I think it's the British tax man or something, with his pub in the past. And again, I am likely to bring up the excess death rates in the EU, because Portugal, just like the UK, just like everywhere else, seems to be having a problem. So what other news? I'm not going to read you a news story. I'm going to talk about me, because I had a certain bet with a certain Rick Munn, if I remember rightly. The bet was about 10 months ago that when Elon Musk did finally purchase Twitter, whether he did, my bet was with Rick was that he would purchase Twitter, that he would restore free speech to Twitter. And the difficult part of the bet, the bit that I might or might not have won, was Darren of Plymouth, one of the most famous Twitter accounts in the land, would be returned to its rightful owner, that being me. And this morning, I opened up my phone as I scrambled out of bed to read news headlines to Rick at 8 o'clock this morning. I had a look at my Twitter, I had a look at my emails, and lo and behold, I had an email, not from Elon directly, that would have been just too much for me to handle, but the Twitter team had contacted me to say, as part of their unsuspension program, Darren of Plymouth is now back online. And I opened up my Twitter account, and straight away it was like, this account's suspended, this tweet violates the rule. I didn't even look at it. The tweet is over a year and a half old. It was probably saying, everyone's going to die from the vaccines. And here we are, a year and a half later. So I deleted that. I'm back online. I'm getting thousands and thousands of followers today. And now the only job I've got left is to get old Rick. I'm going to try and get him on my show. That would be a nice change, because we haven't actually had an hour-long chat. And we'll negotiate payment terms for my £100. And I'm sure he'll find a way of resisting parting with the hard-earned cash that he gets from TNT Radio. So, and it's not just me. I'm not interested in the cash. I'm not interested in even saying I'm the winner. I'm interested in the fact that I've got my voice back. I've got my skin back. My Darren of Plymouth skin back. This is great. If you're listening and you want to follow me on Twitter, and my Twitter account is at Darren Plymouth. It's going to take a few days for it to start getting rolling and getting into action. But now I've got that reach back, it means better guests, hopefully, in the future. I didn't mean that as a criticism of a guest today, but my reach is back. My contacts are back. This is great news. And it's not just me. I have seen Twitter account after Twitter account after Twitter account this morning. John Mappin, who lives down in Cornwall, the man who resisted £1 million to fill his beautiful, beautiful castle up with immigrants in a village in which would have had a 6% increase in population. Loads of old white people living in Tintagel should be very grateful to John Mappin for not increasing their population by 6% with Albanians and Sudanese and Eritreans, which might have been, and I don't want to sound, you know, one of those, oh, is Darren sounding racist again? But it would have blighted and ruined that small village community. So he's got his Twitter account back. I've seen loads of others. There is a seem to be a massive Twitter prison release today. And I think that's all the better for free speech. It's all the better for the narrative that's now unfolding before us. One that was predicted by all these Twitter accounts that had got cancelled and suspended and silenced in the first place. But anyway, Darren of Plymouth is back. Yay me. Yay me. Yay me. And the adrenaline is now back returning because I had a bit of an adrenaline crash before the show because I was so excited this morning. All good news. So at Darren Plymouth, if you wish to follow me on Twitter. And if you have any suggestions for a possible guest or host that you'd like to hear from on TNT Radio, or perhaps you have a topic you feel we should discuss, then I want to hear from you. Simply complete the suggestion form on the TNT Radio website. You can drop a comment in the live chat. You can email me, Darren@tntradio.live. There's also a soapbox, and whilst you're there on the soapbox having a whinge to TNT, go and buy yourself a nice hoodie. They look very fetching, and I'll probably be wearing some TNT gear this Friday at the Comedy Weekend podcast, so you can go and check that out. I believe there's still tickets going. www.comedypodcast.live. Go on that site, and you will be able to see me and Rick and a lot of other people, Katie Hopkins, Right Said Fred, Andrew Lawrence, Alistair Williams. I could go on and on and on. These people are all going to be platformed up at Kegworth this weekend. So go and check it out on TNT Radio.
Keeping the commitment 24/7.
I've been in the car all day and I got to listen.
Can't get enough of it.
You guys are doing a great job.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back. It's me, DD Denslow. I'm here with a regular over January, a certain Mr. Nick Ashcroft. Nick, how are you, mate?
Hello, mate. It's getting crazy. Yeah, I'm really, really settling into this weekly thing with you. And it's almost like going for a pint, chewing the fat. And it just seems to fit my schedule perfectly. Thanks.
Yeah, you have to say that. You have to say that. I've been badgering you. Nick, I want you on. Oh, Nick, come on, because we're going to plug your show. That's my little little tempter. I'm glad you're well, Nick, and I am actually looking forward to coming up on Friday. And we've given away some tickets, and I hope, you know, the promotions that we've been doing on TNT Radio and through like mine and Rick's Twitter accounts and everyone else, I hope your ticket sales are going well. I'm really looking forward to it. I saw the little poster the other day and it had like Katie Hopkins on, Right Said Fred, and, you know, all these sort of semi-famous or famous people, or famous for sometimes for the wrong reasons, according to certain people. And then there was Darren Denslow and Rick Munn. And I just couldn't believe, I was like, how my life has changed in the last year that I'm on the same ticket as, you know, Katie Hopkins. So amazing, and a big thank you for that particular opportunity, and we'll give you a chance to plug the show, plug your event throughout today's show. Right, you are a protest guy, you get involved in protest in terms of the tech and the sound and everything. Were you at the vaccine injured protest this Saturday?
Yes, mate. We were all there, really, at least everyone that we've been working with. Me, Steve, Carl, the Pushback guys, we had Phil Oracle there, and, you know, this immense TV Arctic truck thing that, you know, from a tech point of view, I was just gobsmacked. It was literally out of this world. So from the technical point of view, it was very generous spec, let's say that. You know, London was echoing with everything that we were putting out there. There was many sort of angles to talk about with that one. But yeah, the tech went beautifully. Everyone heard. Everyone looked and sounded great. I think everyone who was filming it got some great material. And that's kind of, you know, getting a bit nerdy, but it makes us happy to know that people left with the good stuff rather than, you know, problematic content or anything like that. So we had a great day technically. And yeah, there's a million different conversations we could get into about what actually happened there.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to hear, you know, from you, just your opinion on the event. Like, was it a success, or was it not big enough, or was it big? How it was received by the audience, and what you thought of some of the speakers. Before we actually get into the sort of the nitty gritty of what the event was about, particularly as this story, vaccine injuries, I think the cat is out of the bag now. Do you agree? And your comments on the event away from the technical side.
Yes, I believe the title was Vaccine Injured and Bereaved. I'm, you know, hands up again, I'm playing the nerd card here. I tend to just look after my own little world of cables, wires, microphones and everything and turn up to these things. And that's no slight on the organizer or anything, but I'm a bit obsessed with what's going on in my little universe. And then I pop my head up and then see what's actually happening on stage. So yes. Okay. With the question of, is the cat out of the bag? Well, I mean, we had some very tough listens, you know, from the injured people that it was very difficult to go to their world with them. You know, that was hard. And at the other end of the spectrum, we had Matt Letizia up there confidently calling out the BBC, calling out Rishi Sunak. And you think, wow, I mean, content aside, Darren, you know, this, let's say it was a different subject. It's crazy stuff to be in the middle of that is happening for one reason or another, that these people are stood in the middle of Portland Square outside Broadcasting House doing this. So it was crackers on every possible angle.
Yeah, and I thought Matt Letizia has done a great job, and I thought he gave a great speech. He really did call out the BBC, and you're right outside the BBC headquarters, right?
Yeah.
Did anyone from the BBC right come out to speak to you? Did anyone come out to speak to you? Was there any BBC people there? Even like, you know, little spies, just, or you know, you not hear a peep out of them?
I wouldn't know. We didn't, nothing obvious, but you know, if you followed that crowd, let's say, of everyone that is involved in the wider movement, be it, you know, all the famous faces from the podcast shows and all the commentators and everything. Well, it seemed like everybody was there, Darren, you know, so you only had to hang around the front, and it was like, you know, some chapter one of some weird book of like, they are all actually here in front of me. So if you wanted to chat and meet any of those people, there they were. Stood right next to you. And yeah, it's hard to say how it was received. There certainly wasn't a lot of coverage. We knew that would be the case. But, you know, I guess it's pretty powerful just turning up and having it on that scale, that sort of size screen, that level of volume from these things. It can't be swept under the rug at this point. So Everyone got that in the bag in terms of recording it and content. And I think it will live to be quite momentous just in what got said on stage. I don't know how many people was there. There was enough, and it was so cold, mate. We were literally having to jump up and down and rub hands, and it was, you know, we all went through it there. But it really filtered out the hardcore of people who are willing to come and do that and support it. And I think it's going to be a bigger return on the content, and that stays on online now for people to use as a reference.
And are you? Is there any more plans for vaccine injured protests like that, either in London or anything else that you're involved in elsewhere in the country that people can attend in the future?
I think there's some smaller ones listed. Again, I'm playing the ignorant fool a little bit here. If it doesn't come my way in terms of the tech, it's in the wider orbit of the stuff that, you know, we're all browsing and looking at. So I know there's definitely some probably smaller events, but they're ongoing through January, I think. So I guess we're approaching the end of it. And then where does it go next? I don't know. There's we mentioned this last time that I wouldn't like to think we're stuck in a protest loop. I hope this then escalates to another place where we can, you know, just assess what the correct move is next, but that way for these people escalates to another place where we can, you know, just assess what the correct move is next, but that way for these people. And if I had one takeaway from all that, of just being an observer, it's that everyone who come on stage, okay, they're horribly injured and their life is it's hard to put words on it. The life has changed, put it that way. But it's the fact they've been abandoned, Darren. That's what really is doing the damage here. Of there's nobody for them. They're into personal savings. They're into scrambling around for bits of healthcare. It doesn't matter if they do produce an official diagnosis. It doesn't go anywhere. So to see people abandoned like that, it's hard work. Yeah.
Yeah, the whole sort of compensation issue, I think, is deliberately being moved as slowly as possible so that whenever somebody says, oh, I've received my 120 grand because my husband's died, yeah, because that seems like a fair swap, they get their 120 grand and they go to the press and say, I told you my husband died from the vaccine. These only happen once a month or once every few months, get into the press, get onto GB News or get onto, you know, a platform like TNT, rather than rapidly processing them and everybody flooding the mainstream media with, I've got claims, I've been paid because the government and their medical advisors agree that my husband or my daughter or whoever it might be, myself, has been injured by the vaccine, that they're slow moving these payments to hide the severity of what is actually happening. And again, this is borne out in the statistics. So we're going to go to a quick break. It's a sort of nice little sort of segue into the next topic. I'm going to bring up what was mentioned in Parliament yesterday and the response from the vaccine minister, who didn't mention vaccines, which is a bit weird. What's she doing? It's in her job title. So please stay right with us, with me and Nick on TNT Radio.
You should hear what Dirk Bowman is talking about.
Maybe you explain to our listeners how you became enemy of the state. Well, maybe not number one, but at least in the top 10 in Germany.
In 2021, for the first time, I went to Donbass. Didn't plan to stay there, but after I've seen what is going on there, so that this Ukrainian army is killing civilians there already for 8 years, I was shocked. And I decided to stay. I opened a Telegram channel and started to tell about the story of Donbass, about the people. After the special operation of Russia began, my channel got pretty popular in Germany because I was the only German on the ground. And Germany was supporting the Ukrainian government from the beginning, so they didn't like what I was doing and started to talk in a very bad way about me in all news and television, and even blocked the bank accounts of not only of myself but of my parents too. And yeah, this is how I became an enemy of Germany. I'm now in Russia and I can't go back because they also opened a criminal case against me.
The Dirk Bowman Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
This is a message for the parents of young children in the United States. I am Dr. Tess Lorry from the World Council for Health. Please consider the danger of vaccinating your children and babies with the COVID-19 injections. They are not the same as traditional vaccines and are causing significant harm to children around the world. Your children have their whole lives ahead of them. They are not endangered by COVID at all. Please hear us when we say, for your children, it is much safer to wait. Thank you.
Listen up!
Now listen, we gotta talk.
It's what we do best.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to TNT Radio. This is me, DD Denzo. I'm talking with event organizer Nick Ashcroft. We were just talking about the vaccine injured protest, which was a load of anti-vaxxers, apparently, but according to the MSM, even though they've all had the vaccine. That's why they were there. That's how they got injured. And now on Tuesday, Esther McVeigh, an MP, Conservative MP. She skewered Chief Medical Officer Chris Whitty for blaming spiking non-COVID excess deaths on statins, patients not getting statins on blood pressure medicines during the pandemic, and called out the vaccine minister to investigate excess deaths. What did the vaccine minister have to say? It's happening everywhere. Don't worry, it's happening in the USA as well. It's not just us. Happening in Europe, happening in Australia. Yeah, a weird sort of excuse. And then she started blaming all COVID and flu and cancer. Anything apart from the word that's in her her job title, vaccine minister, was mentioned. Nick, I said before, do you think the cat is out the bag? They are now. It's not just Andrew Bridgen who's brought it up in Parliament. We've had a few other MPs over the last 12 months do it. Now Esther McVeigh has said it. I think there's going to be increasing calls for an investigation. Is this the right way forward? And are they just going to investigate themselves and then lie to us?
Well, they can always mark their own homework, can't they? That's usually plan A. And it's a tricky one, mate. It's such a pantomime that I'm reluctant to think you can throw logic and reason at it and we're going to pop out in this absolute truth. I think it's this weird game that's being played. And as long as you approach it on that level and think, how do we move a piece forward and advance our own position? It isn't just pointing and saying it's awful and the truth has to come out. I think it's stranger than that. And it's so complicated. I'm really surprised that we've got people like Bridgen and this amount of, at least this volume, this sort of, there's a bit of a steamroller or a snowball, to use your metaphor on this one. That surprised me, mate. And as expected, there's half the internet thinks controlled opposition in place. And I don't think it's worth investing too much brain power on that. I think just see where we end up. But yeah, how to approach it. It's weird. They could be going for a controlled demolition to just destroy people's faith in everything and get them on the back foot of, we don't know what's safe, we don't know what the plan is here. That would work. And I guess what the people, you know, we touched on this last week, unless it appears in the Sun telling you that this is the case, it's so hard to get it across to people. And just in the last 7 days, personal bits of walking in the park, meeting people, out with my mom, we've had, oh, our postman died. He actually used to wear shorts and trainers and run everywhere, super fit, died in his sleep. And then you're waiting on the end of this conversation of, well, don't you think that's strange? And no, it's not. We just carry on. Literally a conversation yesterday, from family friend, 24, stroked, brain dead, family had to make the worst decision of their lives. Mm-hmm. And I'm waiting on the end of that conversation of, don't you think that's a bit odd then? And it's not. So until we get these people who are now suffering because of it to join the dots back to somewhere meaningful, I don't know what progress is going to be made up with Parliament and all the games that they're playing. So I think we've got to get those two things joined up somehow. And I hold my hands up. I don't know what game they're playing with Big Pharma and Parliament. And all I can think is that we have to get the people who are now the victims to join those dots back up, to get everybody in and say, it's only a matter of time, guys. It always was a matter of time. Empire rules tyranny. It's only a matter of time. So it is out of the bag. It's just the scale of when that dam breaks, if you ask me.
Yeah, I mean, the controlled opposition argument, it goes round and round and round. And you're right, we shouldn't waste too much brain power on it. I find it unproductive. Oh, it's controlled opposition. This person's part of it. Yeah, Andrew Bridgen might be part of it, but he's still getting that information out. And that's what's important. It's the same with Elon Musk. He's still unsuspending Twitter accounts who were speaking out who should never have been censored. Fine, I'll take those wins. Same with Esther McVeigh. I'm not a big fan of any MP at all. But if she's calling out on Parliament, good, regardless if it's being a deliberate narrative that's being put out to the mainstream public. I mean, I think we're in the great reveal. I probably mentioned this to you before, Nick, that I think we was always going to be told. And you're right, it puts the public on the back foot. It confuses people. And that confusion stops people from connecting the dots. But If the mainstream newspaper tomorrow, all of them, said, oh, the vaccines are causing excess deaths, do you think then people would connect the dots?
Yes, I mean, that's literally it, isn't it? It's then what to do about it, because we'd have to guess that most of the people reading that and taking that information on board have made that decision and realized the predicament they're in. So, wow, I don't know how that would feel for somebody to have to go to that place mentally after, you know, doing what they've done. It really is difficult for me to think that one through. So that again could feed into the controlled demolition if they are going to do that and panic people to a level of, well, you tell me. Something's
afoot. Well, I'll tell you what.
Go on.
Yeah, something is definitely. No. Carry on, Nick. I'll jump in.
Yeah.
Nick, Graham Brady. I'll bring in Graham Brady, and it will add to what you were saying. Yeah. So Graham Brady met with a bunch of anti-vaxxers back in November. He was put in touch with them by a police officer called Mark Sexton, who's also been calling out and been very concerned. He's been going to police stations and trying to record crimes with regards to the vaccines and the harms it's been doing. And Sexton advised Brady that if the public find out about the damage the vaccines are causing, with the full knowledge that the government, there will be riots and serious disorder on the streets of the UK. Brady's very concerning response to this police officer was, or ex-police officer, this is back in November 2021, we thought that would have happened already. Are they expecting trouble? Do they want trouble? Are they encouraging it?
Well, that card has always been on the table, hasn't it? And that is actually more worrying than trying to get to some of the absolute truth stuff we were talking about, because then that just becomes a pantomime to get to the riots. And, you know, we talked about food rights earlier. If they need to get there, they'll find a way to get there. And then that is cause for concern. It's pretty horrific. So the question of, are they doing the controlled demolition with the jab people? It's a tricky one. And I don't think it'll produce riots. I think they could blame pharma. I think they could blame government ministers who obviously resigned by that point for signing those contracts. I think there's an escape route that way. And at the minute, mate, we're still echoing what I said about the injured people being abandoned. There isn't a connection. If you turn up and actually snuff it in the hospital from a vaccine injury, it won't be recorded as that. There's no one in the building will join those dots. So they've still got an exit route there. It could keep going on and on. I guess what we're trying to get to is here, what is the end game? And I was talking about this with some of the guys who were on stage of, okay, there's something seriously wrong. There's something seriously evil in the intent. But none of us were very clear on the actual strategy. We couldn't confidently say what they want at the end of this and how they're going to get there. So we threw it around a bit and it was like, it's all bad, mate. But we couldn't really agree on what are they going to do, because it's all right saying it's evil and it's happening, but there's a strategy behind it. And I admit, I don't really know what that is.
Yeah, I think none of us truly know what's going on. We chuck around, you know, grandiose ideas. Oh, it's depopulation. It's the new world order and they want a one world government. It's this, it's that, it's the other. And actually, it's probably, you know, a daylight robbery. It's probably all of those things. Every thread that you can think of, every negative outcome that comes out of this vaccine program and out of the COVID narrative of the last 3 years is probably true. And you're right, Nick. It's very, very frightening what's going on when you sort of just sit back from and move yourself away from the sort of fantasy of the conspiracy, because that's quite exciting. You suddenly realize, actually, this is really happening. People are dying. They are talking about the vaccines that they've just forced upon everybody. And, you know, why are they doing it? And it might just be to really provoke civil unrest so that they can then clamp down on it and bring in their solution. Okay, so when we come back after this break, we'll move away from the morbid subject of vaccines and vaccine deaths, and discuss people freezing and getting compensated for turning off their electricity supplies. So stay right with us on TNT Radio.
Turn on the news!
News flash.
TNT Radio News.
Matt Boylan here with a look at your TNT headlines. Beijing has blasted Washington for portraying China as a barrier to solving Africa's debt crisis, saying it's the US that's destroying the continent's economy. Germany has backflipped on its decision not to send main battle tanks to Ukraine, and former US Vice President Mike Pence has become the latest US leader to be found illegally harboring stolen classified documents in his home.
Globalist agendas, democratic rights at risk, corruption, propaganda. It never stops. Listen to TNT Radio anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
Welcome back to TNT. This is me, DD Denslow. We're on Digging Deeper. I'm here till 2 p.m. And for those that are listening, I will actually be back from the 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock slot all of next week as well. So I am currently lining up some new guests and some old guests. And I've got a Twitter account now that's really very, very helpful for me to do that. He says, no promises, promises. So a big shout out to the people in the live chat. Jack, I think I have won the bet with Rick, but we'll discuss that. I've got a lot of, not haters, but a lot of people who like to disagree with me, Nick, and they think that I haven't won the bet. Okay, so next story, smart meters, electricity and energy, and a plan to restrict people's use or get people to voluntarily give up their energy for a couple of hours a day. Discounts for households to use less electricity at peak times will be offered again later as part of the scheme to avoid blackouts. National Grid's demand flexible service will be offered for the second time to eligible households. So that was this Tuesday. This is going to be a regular thing. According to the National Grid's electricity system operator, more than a million households and businesses in England, Scotland and Wales have signed up to take the part. The scheme, though, is only available to homes with smart meters. It was introduced last year. It's going to run until March. Here's a quote from someone. Ian told me if I hit my 20% reduction, I could earn around 5 pence, she told the BBC. That's not worth it. And I've looked at some of the other figures. Most people are getting about £1 to sit in the dark for a couple of hours. Doesn't seem worth it, Nick.
what are we going to call this one? It's just another tentacle, isn't it? It's a trap to begin with, obviously. I mean, smart meters, anything that's got smart in front of it. And incidentally, you find a lot of tech guys, a lot of tech crew, we don't like gadgets. We're not up to date on stuff always. We tend to use old reliable things, especially for the shows and things. It's a bit more military spec. It has to work. It has to be simpler than more complex. So when I saw what these smart meters claimed to do years ago, I was just thinking, not a chance. And sure enough, once you're connected to a network on these things, I think it's only been the last couple of years, but it has come out. The new specs have got a disconnect feature. You can be remotely turned off. And good luck trying to get one removed if you've already got one. You know, that's the problem there of you're in then. And I follow some of the meter swap groups and see what they're doing. It's interesting stuff. So, yeah. In terms of having them, it's the dystopian nightmare coming your way. It's a complete and utter pantomime. And I do believe we might have been thrown a lifeline, though. There's something going through here about a government trying to step in or make some noise to stop people getting put on prepays. It sounded like there was, you know, they realized exactly how awful that was for people. So I don't know where that one's going. But yeah, removing power from your life and sort of dangling this carrot that you can earn, well, virtue at best, by joining in with this is ridiculous. And a quick one as well, the amount of data that is going back courtesy of a smart meter is horrific. If you just showed me the graph, I'm not really a Sparky, but if I could tell you how many fridges you've got, I could tell you when you're out at work. I could tell you what days anything's happening. I could probably tell you how many people are in the house. If you like to grow certain types of horticulture, I could probably spot that one a mile off. So it's a lot of data, mate. And once they're in, they're in, and it's got your name to everything.
Yeah, there seems to be a massive push to install smart meters into every single home. I have a friend, in fact, he's my best friend. He has a smart meter. He actually loves it and he knows what's going on, but he actually loves it because he can see how much electricity he's got. And he's like, ah, it's great. He says every couple of weeks or every couple of months or whatever, it's quite regular right now, they just chuck a load of money on it. And I have to explain to him, yeah, Rob, mate, what they're doing is the government are going, here, I have £150 for your electricity. And then all that does is just get filtered and laundered straight into the energy company, straight from the taxpayer. So it seems like a massive scam. And the problem is, like you said, they can just turn off your electricity, or we're in a cost of living crisis. Our next topic is about the destruction of small businesses. When that money runs out on a smart meter, your electricity can then actually be turned off. Do you think that that will be an intention, not by the energy suppliers, but by our government? Is this money all sort of leaning towards, I don't know, universal basic income and dependence on the government? And you are going to be at their whim, whether it's an electric car, smart fridge, smart phone, or a smart electricity meter? Is it really about just corralling and coercing the population into compliance, or else?
Yes, I think the word dependence is doing all the heavy lifting there. And if we look at the playbook, it will be the slow creep. That's all they ever do. It's this little virtue points for charging your car at the right times and all this. And you can take that, take that by degree wherever you like to, I would have come, but you know, I didn't have enough of my virtue credits to charge the car up. And that's why I wanted to do the washing instead. And yeah, people will just slip into these nightmare situations of accept that power isn't really theirs on demand. And yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have one. They keep trying, you know, it's been years and years, and finally we realize there isn't a law that you would, and they, you know, they keep trying it on of your old meters out of date and all this. And as usual, with everything from the lockdowns onwards, you push back one round and you realize it's all a scam, that there's nothing propping this up at the minute. So yeah, the dependence situation, I think that's what they've got in mind. You control the power of people, and you control everything. And the headline here, mate, that rewinding is this current year is, we have both record profits. What is the situation? We've got record profits and record bills from the wholesale cartel. So just mathematically, we can leave it there really and just admit it's a pantomime of, you can't have both of those things in the same equation and carry on pretending that, you know, we're really doing maths or economics here. So we are getting fleeced. And I think the smart meters, they will go to the hilt. Whatever they can take off you, whatever they can become dependent, they will do it. But I don't think they're going for the big shutoffs of people. Although that can happen. I think they will really dig in this rationing and encourage you, and then start taxing up these peak hours and everything. And people will just learn to live with rationed electricity, and that's that.
And it's not just electricity. I actually saw an article that was being put around yesterday. I think it was Bernie's tweets, a large Twitter account. And it was some report that had been compiled by a University of Leeds. I'm going off the top of my head. I haven't actually got it here. I wish I had. And it was proposals of how we can reduce consumption by the public. And they had a couple of categories. One was energy, which we've just discussed. Another one was food. And another one was clothing. And they were on about, what was it? I'm trying to work it out. It worked out at 16 kilos of meat a year. Are you a meat eater, Nick?
No, actually, I'm old school vegan. I'm the nice type. Nobody gets a lecture. I was doing that years ago. And to be honest, Darren, we are the first people who flagged this up. You know, the guys my age and everything, we just made that decision years ago, didn't want to go down Let me Ian Reed, and we'll be the first people to tell you what Bill Gates has got in mind here. And it is really shocking to see that happening. Of course, it's a scam. And of course, they're going to weaponize food and everything. So I've had to distance myself from anything to do with the V word, because it just gets me in trouble now. I don't have those two food groups in my life. For me, it's just a compassion thing. I'm not really happy with how it gets there. And that's the end of it. You'd never hear that unless you asked me in a restaurant of, well, what's happening here? I just get on with it. So they're weaponizing food for sure. And I've been in a few community farm projects and everything. And I think we can tie this back into the power situation again. I've done quite a few little off-grid builds and things with people. You can, if you've got sunlight especially, at least fit a sort of switching supply where you could maybe run part of your house from solar and batteries and everything. And this is what is being ignored in the renewables and sustainable debate. They don't want you to control your own supply. Well, that's the, you know, to anyone with a bit of a tech background, that's the first thing you do is think, can I generate this myself? And gosh, mm-hmm. if you live near a stream, you know, there's some guys I watch you do the hydro stuff on YouTube. That's amazing. You know, you can almost get household supply if you live near a Welsh mountain stream or something. So just throwing that one in there, that in amongst sustainability and all that nonsense, they will never tell you how to actually become self-sustainable. It's just you part with your dollars and get your virtue points for paying into what they call it is. And exactly the same thing with the food, mate, of, you know, the bits I do, we just try and buy from the sort of local hippie co-ops and everything, and just make sure at least it's getting spent somewhere. But for sure, they're clearly going to weaponize food. And I've actually got sympathy with the people who eat meat. It's really not a problem for me. We just have to look at that honestly and say they are coming for the food supply for everybody here. And don't take the bait on this one. They're trying to divide us mm-hmm. with this, mm-hmm. you know. So you won't get an argument out of me. It's entirely up to you how you feed yourself. But yeah, it's severely weaponized, and it doesn't add up at all that, you know, veganism is significantly more sustainable or anything. It's just, like I say, for me, it's just a couple of food groups I avoid. I'm not flying the flag on anything that it's getting us to some magical destination. So yeah, it's a big climb down on everything. You know, all these things, again, it's just more pantomime. If you're saying that's not actually the case, guys, it's weaponized words, weaponized information, and don't take the bait.
Yep. And in the same article, so they talked about food. They said, 16 kilos. I think they got it. That was like an achievable goal. And then they were like, you know, an excellent or over the top goal. If we could get this far, was 8 kilos of meat a year. Yeah. So that's for me, that's 16 steaks a year. Yeah. Not enough, man. Yeah. And the other thing was food, clothes items. So they said, you know, the reasonable target was 8 new clothes items per year. Now I have got I buy 8 pairs of trainers a month, you know, let alone 8. Well, I don't, I'm exaggerating, but you know, I like my clothes. I do. It's the one thing, it's the one sort of thing that I an extravagance that I have. And their outside target, you know, oh, this would be really great if we could achieve it, was 3 clothes items a year. And I was thinking, what are people going to be wearing? So they are really, really pushing this. This comes from a top university. I have no doubt that it might eke its way into public policy in the future. You'll get rewarded for the less clothes that you buy or the less meat that you buy. That's how it will start. And these things seem to be accelerating, you know, in terms of, like I said, public policy and actual implementation. These things seem to be happening. They were all scary conspiracy theories, and now it's coming, Nick. Okay, we're going to a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to be talking about the wave of company collapses as the cost of lockdown crisis continues. We'll be discussing this with Nick, so stay with us on TNT Radio.
De-weaponizing weather
with reality and perspective.
This is pure speculation, okay? But there's a very interesting article. A couple of meteorologists from China have discovered that the Earth's core has stopped and may be reversing direction. Now that is really interesting because it also says a surprising finding might solve long-standing mysteries about climate and geological phenomena. Now yours truly has been opining that the increase in seismic activity over the last 30 to 40 years is leading to a rapid warming of the oceans, relatively speaking, which is probably the prime driver for the warming of the atmosphere. We all know if the oceans get warm, the air is going to get warm above it, or warmer. But what's interesting about this also is the last time this happened was 60 to 70 years ago. And it was during that time the Earth was quite cold. And one has to wonder, well, if it was reversing then, if that reversal may have something to do with the warming. I don't know. But it is interesting that the authors say that the surprising finding might solve long-standing mysteries about climate and geological phenomena. And when they say climate like that, well, that's pretty darn impressive because nobody really wants to attribute anything in climate to nature. This is TNT climate and weather watchdog meteorologist Joe Bastardi. I went a little long here, but I'm still going to ask you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got.
When the forgotten poor are in need of healing, they wait for a ship unlike any other. Mercy Ships, a floating hospital staffed by volunteers, heroes of mercy who donate their time to save lives.
Every human has the right to have a place at the table of the human race.
If you could just see the smiles that you get when lives have been changed, then it would make it all worth it.
To learn more about Heroes of Mercy, go to mercyships.org.
Truth is freedom. Today's News Talk Radio.
I like their news coverage.
I like the way that they report the news.
I think it's really unbiased.
Free speech has a home on TNT Radio.
Yeah, we like how we report the news on TNT. We give it you honest and we give it to you straight. This is the only station in which we mandate the truth. I've never said that before on TNT either. Getting back to the news. There are growing fears, Nick, that in 2023 could see a wave of company collapses as the cost of living crisis continues. The number of firms on the brink of going bust jumped by more than a third at the end of last year. This is from insolvency firm Begbie's Traynor. It expects the number to rise due to higher costs and firms repaying, get this, COVID loans, and consumers are cutting back. Co-founder of brewery Cloudwater Brews said the pressure felt like a never-ending nightmare. Judy Palmer, partner at Begbie's Traynor, said it was receiving an increasing number of calls from business owners like Mr. Jones who are concerned whether they could carry on. Now, we've already seen, I mean, I've seen it in Plymouth. You see the boarded up shops. There are the sort of the poorer parts of town. All the small businesses have collapsed. Debenhams has gone as well in Plymouth. I expect that's a nationwide thing. And there are some other larger businesses, medium-sized businesses that have all gone to the wall. What is it like where you are in terms of small businesses? Do you walk around and see a lot of boarded up shops or are they still thriving? And how do you think this is going to progress over 2023? And will it just contribute to the overall sort of tension that's building in society?
Yeah, I think all of those in a row, really. I guess where I live, I'm Northwest England. It's been the usual shift from an older town centre into a retail park and then watching those sort of get boarded up or replaced with just pound stores. So I guess if they're coming for wholesale costs and that's a pretty formidable weapon to drag everybody down with it. And it's weird because it does throw, there's a silver lining in there to not, maybe not for everyone, but you know, we mentioned this. It's, I mean, Steve has certainly noticed that. Well, there's a whole bunch of people in terms of comedians that don't have a tour or a platform. Maybe we can have a little rethink of our industry here and adapt it to that. So, you know, we've jumped into that world of adapt, change, overcome. So there might be, you know, I think for smaller communities as well, it's mad. But, you know, we were in London at the weekend. I spent 10 years in West London and I remembered how like you can be in the middle of all that mess and you'll see a small like hardware store that's doing really well because literally no one can get out to B&Q from that sort of density. So I think this is a community. It doesn't have to be the mess of London, but you know, if it's got its own little supplies that are still the best idea, I think they've got a lifeline there. And, but yeah, structured collapse for sure, man, of just that low grade emergency. If you can't get things, that might be a struggle. It's just all difficult in your back of your mind. So I tagged that onto the back of what you're saying about the power and all this stuff and the clothes. It's like, it's all just got this little thing on the end of it of that's just more difficult than it should be. And it's ruining your day slightly by degree. So yeah, it's a tough time. I'm looking for those silver linings, and that there's still people with, you know, potential. If we look at it, I'm no economist, by the way, but people with great skills want to trade the skills for things, assets. You know, we could jump straight into crypto, we could jump straight into Skillshare, in time banks, you name it. We could sidestep this to some degree. I think there might be some small communities popping up here, at least trading communities. And throw this one back in the mix. I keep mentioning this to everybody, that 2016 WEF thing where they actually said there will be small outsider communities who just don't join in with the smart cities. I will never understand why they said that. They gave birth to that idea. They didn't have to. It doesn't fit the tyranny at all. But even in a small degree, I think within industries, that hopefully I'd like to see people just looking at each other and saying, I think we can set something up here that is genuinely sustainable, that's sufficient, and at least keeps us, you know, trading internally, put it that way.
I have a dream, and it's something that I've sort of joked about. I've always said, oh, I'd love to have my own cult on Dartmoor. I live right on the edge of Dartmoor. But actually, what I really was, when I say that, because I talk in hyperbolic terms and sort of quite flamboyant language and reactionary language, I want to get a response. What I really mean is I'd like to be part of a small community that was disconnected from the craziness of society. Yeah, if we all have to wear white cloaks and I have a harem and everyone prays to me, oh great Darren of Plymouth, at Darren Plymouth on Twitter, by the way, then that would be that would be great fun. Do you actually think that could happen? Because I actually yesterday discussed with Francis O'Neill The Line, which is this new Saudi Arabian concept of this like mega city that they're going to build that's in a straight line made of mirrors. They're going to stick 9 million people in a box in the desert. Do you think that there will be people who will do everything they can to set up and defend their own small corners of the planet and not be put into what can only be considered concentration camps?
Yeah, and I think we can see the signs of that already, that a lot of it will be very dependent on your environment and your culture. Without generalizing too much, there's definitely certain cultures who are willing to just step in line, you know, if they hear the whip cracked and everything, and they've got more of that in them from growing up. Likewise, there's Texas, you know. No thanks, and we'll keep the guns tart. It's very difficult to generalize on it, but yeah. I mean, I've been in 3 or 4 community farm projects, and that's been really interesting. We're not Mad Max, but the objectives were to grow, to have staff, to be self-sufficient and at least turn this thing round. So I'll start with the bad news first. Some of them, they really struggled to grow and went from like 10 people to 100, 150. And we actually manifested all of the horrors of Westminster politics. You know, by the time we were 5 or 6 years in, it was absolute hell of self-organization doesn't come naturally. And that was the big lesson I learned there. And I've been in another couple that we got lucky and it did. People just sorted it out. They were good people. We figured out how to do things, no bad attitudes. So I've had a little taster in independent communities, and you know, we do actually have to sort this out, and you're fully independent in financially and what you can grow, what you can build. So as long as you get that right, there's a really good foundation there. And hey, you don't have to jump off grid straight away, but it's certainly a learning curve, and it takes a lot of effort to grow food. You know, that's been the big one for me. It's been very nice to dip into that world without having to rely on it. I wouldn't want to be thrown into it.
So, yeah, I expect it's very, very hard work, Nick. Like you said, just growing your own food is a skill that we've all lost. But the key point that you meant is that as communities get bigger, all the problems that we experience in the mad world that we're living in now will start to manifest themselves. It's just, human nature. And it's quite interesting. You know, we didn't plan to bring up, self-contained communities or self-contained sustainable communities. But, you know, and you've got experience of that. So amazing. I'll be tapping you up this Friday for some advice so that I can start my own cult on Dartmoor. All right, we're coming to the end of the show now, Nick. As always, you've been an amazing guest. Please, we have a couple minutes left at the end. Please plug the event. Tell us who's going to be there. Tell the listeners how they can get tickets. You've got all the time that you want. Well, until we hit the 2 o'clock mark. So over to you, mate.
All right, thanks again. Well, you did a pretty good job with the lineup. We've tried to get everybody who was deplatformed, censored, especially on the comedy angle. If they manage to hit a nerve with somebody and lose their position, we've tried to put them on. That's the main thing of it. We're not taking a political stance on it. Same with the podcasters. We're not aligning ourselves or anything. We said this. We called it a trip to the edge. So we'll go to that point where there's something kicking off. And in a couple of years' time, it could be a completely different set of people. That'd be lovely if we're still going and we've made a success of it. But that's our MO from the start. It's not exactly about who you see, although that is a great lineup. It's just we'll take a trip to that point and put it in front of everybody with some sunlight. And yeah, it's hopefully a great social. That's the other thing, you know, because we're at this protest stuff at the weekend in London. Everyone gets together, then everyone has to run off. Everyone's got a train to catch. Everyone's got to be somewhere. You know, your car's about to be squashed because you turned left somewhere. You know, it just goes on. So we tried to create a situation where you can come to this thing and actually relax. Actually just say, hey, do you want another pint? And that's been what we were missing in the last 2 or 3 years of everything that I've been involved with. Is like it comes together and it has to fall apart pretty quickly. And that's been our angle with the weekend. So for all the people, if you look on the lineup, all those people have usually got Twitter competitions, promo codes. I know you're running all that stuff. So if you go to our Twitter, Pushback AV, or the website is comedypodcastlive.com, you're straight in, mate. And we're looking forward to getting this £100 situation sorted out, possibly in public by the looks of things now.
Okay. Yeah. Brilliant. Probably in public. I'm going to save it just for Rick. I won't tell him. Hope you're not listening, Rick. Okay. Nick, brilliant. I shall see you Friday evening. I look forward to it very much. And everyone else, go on to that. Go on the website. It's on a TNT event. Buy some tickets and stay right with us. Got another guest coming up on TNT Radio.